Should the public benefits charge on your utility bill go away for good? Eversource and UI customers have been demanding that in recent years. And now a top executive at Eversource apparently is echoing that same message. Joining us now to talk about this is Diganto Chatterjee, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Eversource. Diganto, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me.
You're very welcome. I noticed earlier this week in the Hartford Business Journal that you were calling to remove the public benefits charge from our electric bills, and instead you wanted this to be in the state's budget. Talk about this.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting there listening to this gentleman, I forget his name, he makes pastas in Connecticut, and he was struggling with paying for healthcare costs for his employees. And when you hear manufacturers in Connecticut, you know, those are some real issues that they're facing every single day. And when you think of what's happening outside of Connecticut today, there's about $3 trillion of U.S. manufacturing growth, new manufacturing factories that are opening from Idaho to Virginia to Florida to Texas, and Connecticut's not seeing it, right? And it's because we've got so much of the public benefits included inside the volumetric rates for every cent per kilowatt hour. Every manufacturing facility is paying those. And that makes Connecticut very uncompetitive.
So I just want to clarify, Diganto, when you say to have the public benefits shift over to the state's budget, your bigger concern is what? Because obviously for customers, it's that they feel like their bills have gone up astronomically in recent years solely because of the public benefits. I mean, granted, we know that obviously the prices change every 6 months. Like, we know that they get adjusted. We know that things are more expensive now. But the public benefits, especially in the last, I want to say, 2 years, those have made people's bills go up astronomically. So what is your, just to make sure I understand correctly, your biggest issue with the public benefits right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, if your listeners probably aren't aware that we paid last year, we recovered about $800 million of public benefit costs, right? For everything from purchasing renewable generation to energy efficiency to supporting medical customers, assistance programs, financial hardship, battery storage programs, innovation pilots. All of these programs have merit. And the reason why most of your listeners may not be aware of it is that it's buried inside one public benefits bucket inside the bill. If it comes out of the electric bill and taxes are paid by taxpayers and the state has to recover those costs through taxes, that brings in accountability. That brings in transparency. Why am I paying for all of this? This has nothing to do with the grid. Tell me more. What should I know about this? And so that's one half of the story, right? I am not making any views or opinions on if these are good or bad. You know, depending on where you sit in the political spectrum, you may have a wide variety of views of if these public benefits are good or bad. I'm just saying, when you put this inside the electric bill and every customer, residential, commercial customers, industrial customers, they all have to pay on a cents per kilowatt hours, it's a lot of money. So to bring things in perspective, an average customer in Connecticut consumes about 700 kilowatt hours of electricity every month. An average commercial customer, the top 25 commercial customers, they consume about 7 million kilowatt hours. So if you're thinking of opening a factory in Connecticut, about $500,000 of your electric bill would be public benefits. Wow. You know, so and so if you have an option today, if you're say Micron Technology or Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Facility, they're opening a new factory in Arizona. They're expanding their factory. Micron's expanding their factory in Virginia. If you are one of those factories thinking of coming into Connecticut, and you're saying, you know, if you're in Indiana, you pay zero public benefits. And if you come into Connecticut and you're saying, wow, I'm going to pay, what, $500,000 of public benefits charges as my factory is running, making chips? How does that make sense, you know?
So, Deganto, first of all, a reminder for people, you are the Senior Vice President of Engineering at Eversource. So I don't want to assume anything, but have you been at Eversource for a while?
About 7 years.
Okay. Where have you been? And I say that in the nicest way possible, because you, I'm sure. And again, I love what you said, which is like, let's take the politics out of it. I have always said logic over political affiliation. That's how I run my life, to be honest with you. And that's how I run this show, just so you know. I know you and I have never met before, but just so you know, I have made this argument so many times, to the point that Governor Lamont, I actually said to him earlier this year at an in-person event, I said, Governor Lamont, I am a current one of these utility customers. I am a UI or an Eversource customer. I am currently. My afternoon host here on WICC is not. He lives in a town where they have their own. They have an independent utility. Great for them. So if we both eventually want to have, and I always use this example, if we both want to get, you know, an electric vehicle at some point, why is it okay that I'm paying for these charging stations, but we're both going to benefit from it? I said, logically, it just doesn't make sense that you, even if the majority of people in Connecticut are Eversource and UI customers, just that alone is unfair that we are going to cover things. Again, like you said, I'm not saying I'm against a lot of the programs that public benefits covers. I am against the fact that it is not equally distributed and that this is not something that, like you said, we have oversight into. What in the world are we actually paying for in these public benefits? You're right. Most people have no idea what that charge is actually going towards. So for just logic, not political logic, I don't think public benefits make sense. The reason I ask you where have you been is because, you know, like consecutively the last 3, maybe 4 years in the legislative session, I would say more on the Republican side, though, they've been pushing to get rid of the public benefits. It'd be super helpful to have somebody from Eversource say, no, you should listen to them. We should get rid of this.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just suggesting, you know, let's have a conversation of moving it out of the electric bill and talk about it in the budget in the Connecticut legislature, you know, because, again, if you think of, and there's equity issues too, right? So let's say some affluent customer has a south-facing roof, a really large roof. Well, they can take advantage of these public benefits and put in solar in their roof, right? And after you put in solar, guess what happens? Your usage comes down. So if all the public benefits are being charged on a cents per kilowatt hour, and your kilowatt hour has now come down by, say, 80%, not only did you take advantage of these public benefits, you are not paying your fair share into those public benefits because your kilowatt hours has come down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's so much of this fairness issue also. And not to mention that manufacturing facility. I keep going back to that guy who's making pastas. He now has to raise the cost of pasta, and he's instantly not competitive with anyone else making pasta in Boise, Idaho, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just need to think about Connecticut being more, how to make Connecticut more competitive, you know, and then everything else becomes clearer in my head.
So I'm really encouraged that you spoke up. Because to me, first of all, I think it makes Eversource look great, honestly, that it's like, wait a minute, why can't we talk about this? Why can't we just, again, logically talk about this? I try to have these types of conversations on my show all the time, just so you know. And again, I just think, like you said, equity, that's another part of this that gets brought up a lot. But the idea of why can't we just agree that this logically doesn't make sense. And like you said, it doesn't mean that we don't invest in these programs necessarily, but we do create more oversight. We do create more conversation, and we do certainly create more understanding for the taxpayers what they're paying for. And so you want to shift the public benefits off of utility bills, and you want it to go into the state budget instead. Is that correct?
That's right. If the state wants to make sure that Millstone Nuclear Power Plant stays online, right? If the state wants to make sure that we have heating loan payments, if the state wants to make sure we support hardship customers with their electric bills, with their assistance programs, those are what the state officials do all day long. You know, I take this very personally because I used to live in Farmington, and I used to go to this bar outside my neighborhood. And I kid you not, every single time I'd be sitting in the bar, someone would say, "Oh, you work for Eversource. Let me tell you how I hate your company. And let me tell you how high my electric bill is." And then I'd have to spend, instead of just relaxing and enjoying my beer, I'd have to spend the next half an hour telling this person that half of your bill has nothing to do with Eversource.
Mm.
Half of the bill is supply and public benefits. And then they would be like, "Wait, what? I'm paying for heating assistance program, I'm paying for energy efficiency, I'm paying for Millstone nuclear power plant, I'm paying for rooftop solar." Most people just see Eversource bill and they're just furious, and I get it, but it's just it's exhausting. So I maybe just went and was more candid in one of these sessions.
Well, I appreciate you being candid. We're talking to Diganto Chatterjee, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Eversource. And Diganto, like many of us, would love to see the public benefits charge taken off of our utility bills. Now, they don't go away for good, but what you're saying, Diganto, not to put words in your mouth, is you'd like that to be shifted over to the state budget. There's more oversight. There's more conversation. People actually know what their taxes are going towards. And to your point, it sort of takes the heat off of UI and Eversource, certainly, because you're right that has to be, I think, one of the most infuriating things about paying your utility bill in recent years is that, I mean, and we're seeing the public benefits charge go up substantially. I mean, in the last few years, it's insane to me. Like, just to give you, and I'm sure, because like now I'm probably annoying you like the guy at the bar. But I mean, we've lived in our house for 7 years. I grew up, I'm born and raised Connecticut, left for a little bit, but I came back. We've lived in our house for 7 years. We always called the summer, that sort of our time to take a breath and catch up on bills sort of thing, because we don't really use our energy too much. Now, I get it. Hot, all that, you know, all the things. Oh, it's going to cost you more. I got it. But when I tell you, Diganto, that in the last two summers, our bills are ridiculous. I mean, out of control. And we're not doing anything that much different than we have previous years. And it's not that much hotter than it's been in previous years. I mean, Connecticut summer is Connecticut summer. And so my point being is that when you look at the public benefits, that has gone up so much. It's crazy. And it makes you question, well, why is it going up so much? And would this make a difference getting rid of it? And I feel like the average person will say yes. Now, what has been the reaction to what you're saying? Because I would imagine the other side doesn't love that idea, or at least they haven't in the legislative session. They don't like the idea.
Oh, yeah. I know of some who hate the idea, right? And I know some of the special interests who hate the idea, right? Because as soon as, for the same reasons we just discussed, right, it brings more accountability. More people will start asking, why am I paying for? What am I paying for, right? I Melissa, unlike you, I moved here from Indiana, and I still, it was 10 years ago, and my Indiana bill, I asked my buddy, to send me his bill, and it's 13 cents, right? And so just to put some numbers in perspective here, his total bill is 13 cents. Our supply is 9 cents. Public benefits is 6 cents. Transmission is 3.5 to 4 cents, and distribution is 8 cents. If you're doing the math, that's 26, 27 cents. And so it just kind of, it's mind boggling. We made some poor decisions in New England in 1998 and deregulated, right? We said, oh, we don't need the utilities to own, build, own, and operate generation. We're going to have the markets decide that. And then we said, wait, we don't like the markets. The markets are leading to retirement of these generations. So we're going to force the utilities to get into long-term purchase agreements to retain these generators. Actually, we don't like the markets because they're not building enough renewable generation. So we will force the utilities to enter into these agreements to recover costs for public benefits for renewable generation. It's like, make up your mind. What do you want? Do you want deregulation, or do you want to be re-regulated just like in Indiana? You can't have it both ways. 88% of our customers in Connecticut still use Eversource for standard supply. So we have to procure generation from the market and procure it for on behalf of our customers in a deregulated state. It's unbelievable. Like in Texas, it's 100% of the generation is bought in the retail open markets. So I think we've got some structural problems in Connecticut between generation supply being 9 cents and public benefits being 6 cents. It's just making us completely uncompetitive. And all of the factories, I went on White House website this morning just to look at all these factories that are coming in. If you look through them, I mean, it's kind of sad. It's really sad because $3 trillion of new manufacturing factories, new businesses are coming in, restarting manufacturing in the United States. None of them are in Connecticut.
Interesting. All right, Ronick, I don't know what you want to call that, but I really appreciate you again, Diganto Chatterjee, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Eversource, for having this conversation on the show and for talking publicly about it. Let's see if, I don't even know, third, fourth, fifth time's a charm. I don't know even what count we're at this point. Let's see if something changes during the legislative session. I will be very curious, and we'll be keeping an eye out to see where this goes. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.